I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
We're rolling now.
Everybody.
Autumn and I want to eat, so do you have anything to say?
You know how in the Maximize Your Life Tour show,
can you hear up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go on.
You often say, or you encourage people to break the rules.
There's a huge difference. There was one rule they have to follow.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
All right.
Okay.
So,
Are you a dick?
No, as you can see by my shirt. What does it say? The Penguin Parade in Australia, right? Because
okay,
I just actually got back.
Uh-huh.
I went to see, my sister and I went to see the Penguin Parade. All these little tiny penguins cross, you go at night, it's done at night, right? Because they come home at night and they wait in the water for it safe to come and you watch. And
did they not see you waiting in the wings?
They say, please, please no pictures. Please no pictures because it actually hurts their little eyes. It can actually damage their eyes. Okay, so everybody's kind of cool. The penguins, they cross the beach and then they go up into their, then they climb up this thing, this knoll, to go to their little hovels where the babies are waiting. So we're allowed to, after you watch them cross the beach, you go and watch them go to their little hovels. And you're literally this close. So we're walking and you're kind of looking at them and I see this girl.
Did you kill a baby penguin?
No, I see this girl aiming up her phone. And I was like, no, she's not going to. And all these little penguins are like, ooh, ooh, coming up, right? With their little eyes wide open. And I went, no, she's not going to do it. And I just about went to slap her arm and she took the picture. Flash. And I went, I said, what are you doing? And she's like, I don't know. And I went, no. I said, don't. And I went, why did you do that? And then the penguins. And then I started slapping people who were doing it. Like I'd see them aim up and I go, stop that. And I went, Janice, you're going to get arrested. But it just, I was infuriated. I don't understand why people don't. What is, as the ranger said, be in the moment. It's like that, it's that great scene from Walter
Mitty.
Just
wrapping up my sandwich here. Yeah. I actually am feeling for you now, though, so I am listening.
No, but remember the scene from Walter Mitty when Sean Penn just, he aimed up to see the snow lion or whatever, and then he just took his thing away and he just watched.
Yeah.
And it just, it was so disheartening, because I think about, at some point, they're going to have to shut it down. If people are just keep flashing their stupid pictures.
Yeah.
I was so discouraged. And the same thing happened in the Great Barrier Reef. Please do not stand on the reef. please, please, yeah, swim. Do not stand on the reef. And, well, you were there. And there's people clomping on the reef. It's like, I don't understand. I understand.
Well, why didn't they regulate that?
Well, what can they do, Jill? What can they?
We were there. I mean, I was there. And it's like, you don't. They'll tell you. Like, there was one area where we, it was blocked off. Mm-hmm. And we thought the ropes were just, like, to hold on to. We didn't know, because, like, you know, Heidi's terrified of scuba and snorkel, so it's when I took her, and like and I was like, oh, shit. And, like, we just kept swimming. And they were like, hey, you're going too far. Like, they didn't want us in some area, I don't know, but, like, we were like, okay, and we just turned around. But, like, they said, you don't go beyond that rope. Right. And we weren't standing on the reef, but it was, like, along this trench thing, and we were swimming on the side of the trench. And really?
Yeah, I guess, you know, there can be eyes on everybody. It's just what I just don't understand is the complete disregard for, you know, they're going to have to shut these at some point to protect them. They're going to have to shut them down. So I guess I was very disheartened with humanity. I came home like, man, people don't, for a picture?
Not for everybody.
Right, for a picture, no. For what? For your Facebook page?
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It is. And they said, we've got pictures. There's a plethora of pictures. I don't know. I just, I don't know what to think of it. I was just came home very
I wish my mom was doing, my mom could explain it to you, but if I was to venture a theory, and here's the answer, and it's kind of sad. I think it's two things. This would be my guess. Number one, I think when you play by the rules and then you see somebody else break the rules and win, it's really frustrating.
Right. We've had this discussion.
Right?
I
mean, G and I were having a business conversation about this. So here's an example. Somebody will do a YouTube video, right?
Right.
And it's like, oh, they get 200 million views and, you know, 99 million of those views are fake. And they're like, you can buy views. There's programs where they like, for example, my little brother was actually explaining it to Giancarlo. I thought his head was going to explode because it's like, you know, a 25-year-old talking to a 40-year-old in a language that a 40-year-old is just like, you doing what? You know, like, poor Giancarlo. Because piracy's become a huge problem for us with, like, DVDs and books and software. And, you know, people just steal it. They just rip it off of BitTorrent sites. So he's been spending, you know, a fortune on our lawyers and tons of time, like, with employees dedicated to pulling certain links off of these sites.
Okay.
And, you know, we have free content up there. Old content, and we like the new content. You know, we sell the new content. It costs a lot to make. So, you know, let's say you have YouTube views and somebody is, you know, there's a program where you can buy views and this and that and the other. And then someone goes, oh, well, this person has 200 million views on or whatever million views on YouTube. And so they're going to get the job, or they're going to get this, or they're going to get that.
Oh,
or
I see.
They have 2 million Instagram followers. And, like, you know, then you look at how many likes they get on a photo. Like, there are some, like, people have brought me, like, oh, you know, because I'm always looking for young fitness talent to cultivate. And they'll bring me Instagram stars now. And I'm one girl has never even been a trainer. She's never trained anyone. She has no certification. And they're like, oh, she's got, like, millions of Instagram followers. And I was like, okay. And I go, hold on. Jeanette Jenkins has trained, like, everyone under the sun. She's established. She's been in print. She's been in the weekly. She's been, you know, it's like Pink sings her praises because I brought Jeanette in to help me train Pink. And, you know, Jeanette has, like, 100,000 Instagram followers. And I'm like, but this girl who no one's ever heard of, who has no certification, knew this and that, has, you know, and there's ton, and, like, they buy. So the thing is, you start to look at it and you're like, wait a second. I play by the rules and I lose. It's like the Olympics. Everybody's on drugs and the guy that isn't on drugs is going to lose the Olympics. Yeah. It's like pro sports, let's say. All the athletes are then like, well, I have to be on drugs because, so you kind of feel like, well, everybody's breaking the rules and they're getting ahead of me. And we've dealt with a lot of that in our business. It's like we play very straight, forward, and fair. And we've taken a lot of bad hits because people have not played by the rules.
Right.
So anyway, To make a long story short, there's that aspect of it. And I think they go, well, so-and-so broke the rules and look at how well they're doing. And look at how, hence my reasoning for saying there's only one rule. Don't be a dick. Don't hurt people. That is not okay. That's bad karma. That's not being a good citizen of the world. And that's going to come back to you in a way that is not going to be good somewhere at some point down the road. So, okay. I think the second part of it is that often, you know, we all have a certain amount of, we do, we just all have, God, I wish my mom was on here today, because she would say this in such an intelligent way, and she would really be able to make it quantifiable, but, and I'm not quite sure if it's like a sociopathic tendency or a narcissistic tendency, or a little of both. So a sociopath is somebody with no conscience, right?
Right.
And a narcissist is somebody who has been forced to turn inward because they felt there was nobody outside of them. So oftentimes what happens is that people grow up without feeling like the world gave to them, the world cared for them, the world looked out for them, the world had enough for them, and they're like, I don't care. You know what? I'm taking care of me now. Forget everybody else. And it's because they felt like no one ever looked out for them. So it's actually coming from a really sad place of like, I take care of me, I'm what matters. And that's how narcissistic, when you meet narcissists, that's how narcissistic qualities essentially originate. And I have them. I work through my narcissistic stuff all the time. But, you know, it's when you felt at a young age that there was nowhere to turn but in. And then it's like, it's you, it's all about you, you're taking care of you, you're all you have, and F the world. That's where that kind of, I think both of those can play into this equation.
Okay.
And the sad thing, though, is that, ironically, the more you put that energy out in the world, the more it's going to be mirrored and reflected back to you. So the more you behave like that, the less you're going to ingratiate yourself to other people who are going to treat you with the same, like, well, if you're going to do this, then I'm going to do that. And the irony of everything in life is that the more we've talked about this, the more you act to avoid fears, the more you create them. So the more you're like, well, I'm going to take care of me, the less the world is going to take care of you because you're alienating yourself from it. So, you know, you look at it. I try to look at those things. This is really, I have a good friend who deals with this a lot and just gets so upset. And I think the bigger question for you is, and I've been there, Janice, is like, why is it so upsetting to you? And it's usually a personal thing.
Right, right, right.
You know, but I get it.
For me, it's always something, yeah.
You know, but it should be upsetting.
Yeah.
It should be upsetting. And it's how then do you cope with it and manage it? And instead of, you know, what I would recommend for you is instead of having a really big, aggressive historical response.
Like slapping people's cameras.
Right. Maybe go up and just say, hey, you know what? I totally get it. I want to take a photo too. But think about right now, you know, what damage that might do.
Yeah.
Maybe try to talk to them. Try to get them to think.
I was too angry. I didn't have time to say that. I just wanted to slap.
I get it.
Slap a slapper.
I get it. Believe me. And sometimes I stop and I take a step back and I just think, how is it possible? You know, because I look at big corporations like that. I'm like, who's the guy at the top of the food chain? Because when I was at the Barrier Reef, they were talking about how all the drilling offshore is destroying the reef in conjunction with climate change. Because they're doing all this drilling and it's essentially covering the reef with all the silt and the sand and all this crap. And that and the climate change is killing it. And they don't know if it'll be around for more than 10 more years. And I just thought, like, who's the dude at the top of that company's food chain that's like, screw it, I don't care. You know, and there was another one. Like, I was watching The Year of Living Dangerously on Showtime. And I think we talked about this. And there was like one rainforest that Harrison Ford was in Indonesia. And they were deforesting the rainforest for palm trees to create palm oil for processed foods and this, that, and the other. And one dude, one politician was in charge of like the forestry department, and one guy. And this was like a massive contribution to global warming, this one forest, and this one guy was in charge of it. And I just thought, what? You're one dude who is doing, like, people dream about changing the world
for the better.
Yeah.
And you single-handedly are contributing to our global warming by like, you one guy are like 10% in charge of this decision.
But like, that's money. That's right. All based. That's
but it's
on
all,
money.
But money is about filling your coffers, meeting your needs. And so I think the question then becomes, when we see ourselves engaging in these behaviors, to try to stop. Because, you know, I've been in that place where I get really disheartened and I'm like, you know what? The world's out to get me. The world's a bad place. I'm taking care of me. Like, I've been in that headspace. But I've learned how to, I've appreciated that connecting with other people makes me feel far better. And that allows me to get out of it. I'm like, no. You know, this is like having a donut in the moment and then getting on the scale, you know, and being 180 pounds or 175 right. pounds, which I was as a kid. So the immediate, it feels good. But then the result of it is you feel sickened and upset and disconnected. So I'd rather work to find the helpers, the good people, connect with them, feel that sense of connectedness, which is like, oh, I have my health back kind of a thing. Even right. though I went through behaviors that were less than pleasant, I worked at it, I went to the gym, I did this and that and the other. This is a poor analogy. But I think we have to look inside of ourselves and own that part of ourselves because it's there. And it's not there because we're bad people. It's just there because, as we've said, at some point or another, you felt alone, you felt abandoned, you felt you were all you had. And when you feel that way, it's really hard to care for the rest of the world when you feel like no one cares for you.
Ugh, well, I'm telling
you. Well, and the way you approach these people is really going to make a difference, buddy.
No, it's true. And who am I to be the caretaker? But however,
yeah, but evil prevails when good men do nothing. It's a question of what you do, how you do it, how you're going to make the most impact. Because then she's going to try to take 1,000 photos just to antagonize you.
Yeah. Well, all I know is if there is karma, I'm telling you, when these people who took the pictures, when they go to the pearly gates and they knock on the door, I hope there's a bunch of blind penguins there that are just saying, turn it around.
Yeah.
Turn it around, Sister Sue. Back down.
Oh,
and they'll all be with their canes. Clickety clack, clack, clack.
Janice wants people to go to hell for this.
Well,
I do.
All right.
Yeah. Autumn.
I do. I'm on board with Janice.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. But anyway.
I don't have any tolerance for that. It's so self-centered.
I know.
I'm actually particularly proud. Jillian's a better person than I am, clearly. I'm like, I'm loving the fact that you smacked their phones right out of their hand. No, they're lucky that's all you smacked.
I know.
What's wrong with you?
What's
people.
Wrong with you? People.
Look at we only have one planet.
Wow.
Let's take care of it.
We got Autumn going.
Yeah, Autumn's pissed.
I feel really strong.
The claws are out. Oh my God, this never happens. Okay, ladies, there's no such thing as a men's treadmill and a women's treadmill at the gym. A treadmill's a treadmill. It's the same with razors. A razor is a razor. So why are we paying double for a razor with a pink flowery handle? If you've ever shaved with your husband's razor or your boyfriend's razor, you know it works just as well or even better. So I don't like to get ripped off. I don't want my audience to get ripped off. And that's why we get our razors at DollarShaveClub.com. They send you a free handle and replacement blades that arrive every month or every other month for just a few bucks. So now you get an awesome shave at a fraction of the in-store price. So stop spending $20 on a pack of pink razors. Check out DollarShaveClub.com/Jillian now. They guarantee you're going to love their razors or you get your money back. So get some for yourself, put some in a stocking, go to DollarShaveClub.com/Jillian. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Jillian. All right, I love this company. It's called Vistaprint, and I've been using these guys for years, way before they were advertising on our podcast, and here's what they do. They personalize things with your own photos. So, for example, you want to make grandma a calendar of the kids for Christmas? These guys do it. You want to give somebody a mug with a picture of their beloved dog? These guys can do it for you. I know this because I have received such mugs and made such calendars. And they're awesome. They're awesome for birthdays. But, of course, we're going into the holiday season. So it will be that great thing to get the person you don't know what to get. Now, through December 31st, they're offering my awesome listeners 50% off personalized holiday cards. But the good tidings do not stop there. Calendars are also 50% off, and you can save on other personalized holiday products by just entering my code, which is my name, J-I-L-L-I-A-N, at the checkout, and your savings will be applied automatically. It is that easy. Satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed every time. If for any reason you do not like the product or you have an issue with it of any kind, they will fix it, replace it, they will make it right. You have nothing to lose, and I guarantee you, you will love Vistaprint. Just remember to enter my code, my name, Jillian, at the checkout to get your savings on their incredible deals at Vistaprint.com. That's Vista, Vistaprint.com. Checkout code Jillian. Wait, what?
It's just like resting bitch face.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Same thing.
I was talking to Stephanie the other day.
Yeah.
Stephanie, our director of the show.
Okay.
And she said, have you heard of bitchy resting face? And I went, what are you talking about? So yeah. I looked it up on the internet. It's women, it is more about women who have a look when they're relaxed that people confuse as bitchy, right, Autumn? That's how it kind of works, right?
Well, that's Heidi. Yeah, I have it. I've caught myself doing it.
Really?
Like in stores where you see mirrors or when I'm driving and looked in the rear view and it's like, whoa, look at that. Why? No wonder that lady just gave me the finger because I'm hanging out my window just glaring at the world, but I'm not.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's what women, that's exactly what Autumn is saying is women get, they go like, and when people come up and go, well, are you okay? Or what's wrong? Or don't you like this? And they're like, no, I'm fine. It's okay. And they call it resting bitchy. Is that right? Yeah. Bitchy resting face.
We call it RBF. Is resting bitch face.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there was a coin. There was a girl.
It's like you've got your RBF on right now. And you're like, oh.
Really?
Yeah. Perk up that smile.
A comedian named Taylor. I'm going to say her name bitchy wrong. Taylor face. Orkey. Orsey.
Anyway, oh, there's a face on it. Oh, there's a YouTube video.
There's a YouTube video, and it's
bitchy
very
resting
funny.
Face.
And it's about being misinterpreted.
19 times bitchy resting face has saved your life.
Oh. Yeah.
Wait, okay. Is there a point of this?
Well, just that don't always be don't.
Everyone is well aware that bitchy resting face is and has most likely experienced at one time or another. Oh, maybe you rock this mask on a daily basis. Maybe your best friend has the...
It strikes when you least expect it.
Oh. As the amount of stupid people you encounter increase, so does that cold, hard, stern look across your face. The more annoyed you get at life, the more your face reflects this. Oh, Autumn, this is you. You may think this is a negative thing, but you couldn't be more wrong. Some say, sure, maybe it's deterred the hot guy from approaching you at the bar. All right. So, oh my God, this is also Heidi. Ready? So how does your bitchy resting face come in handy? When solicitors try to bombard you on the street and then it says, GD it, get the F out of my way. Bitchy resting face. Okay. When someone is lost and needs directions, you don't have to deal with it. When an ugly guy thinks of approaching you at a bar and then this girl says, maybe you should try plan D for dumbass. Ooh. A coworker knows much better than to ask you to take on some of her work, and this girl says, bitch, please. Then, when you're trying to hold back tears in an emotional situation, so good, bitchy resting face is good for that. When you try tricking your boyfriend into thinking you're much more upset than you really are, okay. And then this girl says, why can't I just effing cry? That would make things so much easier. This one goes for anyone and everyone. Okay, please don't expect it. What is this? Salespeople never ask you if you want help. That's nice. These are great things. You always win the passive-aggressive war. No one expects you to apologize. You don't need to tell your friend you can't stand her guy. When you want the guy who just slept over to get the F out of your apartment.
Bitchy resting face.
No one in your family will ever ask you to babysit. No esthetician would ever dare F up your requests. You get to avoid the old, oh my God, I want you to meet so-and-so.
See, and the girl in L who wrote an article, this Christina Rodolfo, also said, she said, I don't want to apologize for it. She says that I resent my impulse to apologize and at times still worry that I'm not immediately likable because of it.
No one invades your personal space on the subway. These are all good things. You need less plastic surgery than your friends.
But it can be it can be misinterpreted. Like,
to speak to Heidi. Where do you think she is?
You think Heidi has bitchy
resting
face?
Oh, my God. Everyone her whole life has always thought she was a bitch. Because she's quiet and she has bitchy resting face. Yeah. And you know what? No one ever. I'm always the one. Like, last night we went to dinner. Last night we went to dinner and we were sitting at the bar and, of course, the guy sitting next to us always talks to me. They never talk to her. The driver of, like, the cab or the car always talks to me. No one ever approaches her. Because she's got bitchy resting face. That's it.
And Autumn, you think you have it?
Sometimes, yeah.
I'm so irritated that she's not answering the phone. I finally found out what's the matter.
Bitchy resting face.
Yeah, but no one bothers her, dude. And I... Ugh, this woman. How dare she not answer her phone? All right, whatever.
Not all the time, but I know I have it.
Are we advocating this, or are we saying...
No, I'm just saying...
Don't do it.
No, I'm just... Sometimes you can't not do it. But I have misinterpreted people. I have been guilty, because I always kind of just... I don't know what I look like, but I have misinterpreted people, and I just realized that they had a bitchy resting face.
Is there a point to this?
No.
Adam? Anything?
Look, I don't think there's anything wrong with being aware of it. I've seen my bitchy resting face in the mirror sometimes, and it's not that cute.
I can see how it's kind of nice, though.
Because
sometimes over the course of a day, like, I do get a little tired. Because, like, I'll have to go to the airport. I tell her she's always trying to put me in a car with a driver, and I'm like, no. And she's like, why? I'm like, because I can't. Like, I have to hear their whole life story, and it's just, it's tiring.
I am always trying to put her in
the
car.
I am like, no, I'm going to drive.
You drive yourself to the airport.
I'd rather drive.
Well, for the airport.
The airport, I have to take a car, but it's just like.
But for certain things,
oh my God.
It's better for her to take a car. You know,
oh my God. It's like, I've been out in this town for 15 years. I'm a composer. Let me pop in my CD. Why do you think I haven't had a successful career in music? Don't you think this is good work? I'm an immigrant from such and so. My father died of cancer when I was 6. I'm just like, oh my God. Aha! Here she is. And Heidi doesn't have to deal with any of it. Hello?
Hello?
Honey, guess what? I found out what's wrong.
What's wrong with what?
You know how you feel like people always think you're bitchy?
Yeah.
I know what it is, honey. Honey, here's what it is. Janice, tell her what it is. Can you hear, honey?
Well, there's a new... Well, it's not new, but it's a thing called bitchy resting face.
Did you? Yeah, I know. I have that. I saw that.
So you knew about it. I told you she had it. I didn't know about it. You knew, honey?
Yeah. There's like... I think it's BuzzFeed or something. It's like 20 signs you have, or like things that people with bitchy resting face will relate to or something
Oh. How come you didn't tell me you had this thing?
I thought it was obvious.
I've never thought of you having resting bitchy face.
She's got it. No, she's got it bad. And that the problem...
Ew, everyone always thinks I'm really bitchy.
See?
Wow.
But you know what happens is I'm always the one that has to talk to people.
Because Heidi is the complete opposite of bitchy.
I know. Isn't that interesting? Oh, you know you have it.
Oh. It's good for when, like, I don't want people to talk to Joe because we're at dinner or something. I see someone staring, like, I want to go see her. I want to go say hi. And then I just give them a look. Really, I just look at them. And then they don't approach.
But how does it feel, though, Heidi, to be misinterpreted all the time? I mean, not, well.
Those are good questions, honey. How does it feel?
I don't like small talk, and I don't really like to talk to strangers, so I like having it.
I embrace it.
I think maybe what we should be doing here is teaching people how to cultivate their bitchy resting face.
Oh.
Because then they can knock out a little bit of the Because I got to tell you, sometimes you don't want to talk to the guy at the bar next to you. Like last night, like I felt bad and like we wrapped up dinner because the guy was like, my son is a sommelier. And, you know, when I was in the Korean War, I was just like, oh, my God. And you feel bad. But like we were on date night. Like I hadn't had a chance to catch up with Heidi. It was our date night. The first one we've had since we got back from Australia. And like I don't want to talk to a stranger at the bar. But because I don't have bitchy resting face, I was like, I'm not on a date with you, kind sir.
But I don't think you can learn bitchy resting face. I think it just...
It's a gift.
I think it's a gift.
It is. It is. And you either have it or you don't. And the thing is that those of us that have it can turn it on and off at will. So...
Oh. All right. Oh, you can turn it on and off.
Well, do you think I have a bitchy face on right now?
Donnie, does Autumn have busy... What is it?
Busy... Busy Roosevelt's house.
She kind of does, yeah.
Oh, I totally do.
Too.
Wow.
Interesting. Oh. All right. Well, thanks for that, honey.
You're welcome.
Honey's like, if it ain't broke. All right. Have a good day.
All right, you too. I love you.
I love you, too. Bitchy resting face.
Bitchy resting face.
I told you she had it.
Well, and how it's worked for you. That's fantastic.
Well, it doesn't, though, because you know who they talk to is me.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't work for you.
Like, we'll be in a car, and I just end up having a full conversation with the driver. And, like, the only problem with that, not that I, you know, because then I think to myself, I'm like, all right, you know what? Like, everybody wants to feel heard. Everybody wants to feel heard. And I'm like, and if it makes this guy feel that much better for me to listen to, you know, the whole story. But sometimes it's like, it's just tiring. It's like emotionally draining. And I mean, girl, I can't go to the checkout counter without, like, this one woman stopped me the other day and was like, oh, my God, it's you. And I was like, uh-oh. Because I just didn't know how that was going to go. It's like, I hate you or I do your DVD. And she was like, oh, I lost 50 pounds. And I was like, oh, my God, that's awesome. And I was raped. And, like, I'm in line at, like, a CVS or something. And I was just like, oh, my God. And, you know, you're getting hit with that. And it's like, you know, how am I supposed to – I'm in line. There's, like, five people behind me irritated. And I, you know, I'm trying to, I'm like, all right, I need to validate her. And it's like, she's having this moment with me. Like, I was raped and I put on this weight and it's like, but there are days when I just don't have the kind of bandwidth, you know, and I'm spread thin and I'm tired and I'm in a hurry. And it's like, I don't want to take that on. I'm like, I can't hear about this right now. Or, you know, it becomes a lot. But I really
have to learn it then.
I have to, you know, here's the other problem with bitchy resting face is that you don't want to give. I hate this word fan. I hate that word because it implies like a one way relationship. So I like the word audience because it's like I feel like I, you know, it's a two way relationship. But you don't want to give somebody who is, let's say, a fan of your brand, the bitchy resting face. Never. That's just not how you repay somebody who, you know. Listens to your podcast and buys, your DVD.
You can't do it anyway.
You kind of can. But the driver, oh my God, I told Autumn, I'm like, don't even think of putting me back in one of those cars ever again. She was like, it's a 3-hour drive to San Diego. I was like, I'm happy to do it.
And
I can't. It's like you're just trapped. I can't deal with it.
Well, look, from a selfish point, I like her being in the car because I know exactly where she is and where she's going and when she's going to get there. And, like, for example, she's going to a taping on Saturday. I'll drive myself. But the thing is that she has to go to the CBS lot. This is what's going to happen. And I was there with her last time, like, looking for her. I could not find her. She's going to get there and be like, where do I park? Where do I go? Where are you now? Phone dies. Calls back. Text. I'm in studio 9. No, you need to be at 11. I can't find 11. Wait. I think I got it. And then I'm at home like, oh my God. Is she there? Did she find where she's supposed to be? She's supposed to be mic'd like 10 minutes ago.
See, she
so
gets...
that's why I like her in the car.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. She gets in that car of hers and
I know she's going to say no, but I ask her every time anyway.
No.
just in case.
No.
Just, and you know what they do? I'm just breaking her down.
They're the worst gossip mongers, those drivers. They will tell you everyone they've ever had in the car and who they hate and who they don't.
Yeah, they do. They are gossipers.
Oh, my God. I had Usher once, and I told him a thing or two, and now he doesn't step to me. Usher, blah, blah, blah. And one time I waited for Kanye. What an I'm just like, oh, my God. Like, they will just tell you every celebrity they've ever had in the car. And
because drivers try to be a celebrity too. You know what I mean?
It's crazy. I'm terrified of them. No.
Well, I just tell them I have a migraine. Well, no one really cares to talk to me.
I was in the service. And then my last guy, I was in the service, and then I became a monk in Thailand, and now I have a cooking business. And when did you do that bullying campaign? I'm like, I've done many. I don't know what you're talking about. While driving with me in the car, he's on his phone YouTubing a video that I did for some anti-bullying campaign, wanting to know how the lighting was set up. I was like, well, that's, you know, that was, I think, like 5 years ago. I don't know. Oh, because I really want to set up my cooking videos this way. And then when I was done being a monk, I bought this beach house. Here's my phone. I'm not kidding.
What you could do is you take a script, a fake script.
I'm not an actor.
People don't know. Put some headphones on.
I do the headphones thing. They keep talking. Then I pull the headphone off and I'm like, I'm sorry, what? I'm just listening to something. Crazy weather we're having, isn't it? Yes, it is. It is. Headphone back on. You know, around here? Well,
then Autumn and Heidi are going to sit down with you and teach you bitchy resting face.
Yeah, we're going to have a lesson.
Lesson.
Ooh.
Okay.
Well, that was worthless.
Yeah.
We are back. And all the way from San Francisco, where she is at. You're working, aren't you? Are you at work or is that home, Kristen?
No, home is Nevada City. I'm just down in San Francisco having some fun right now.
Well, hell. Well, there you go. So, Kristen, you got Jillian.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Jillian.
What's going on?
I need to tell you that I have a great deal of respect for you, and I've been listening to your podcast for probably 4 years now.
And you still?
And I look forward to every Monday.
Oh, thank you, buddy. Really, thank you so much. That really means a lot to me.
So my question for you is, I work at a day spa, and we have an infrared blanket there, and the claim is that it burns between 800 and 1,200 calories for an hour. And I'm wondering, is it really burning calories, laying there sweating?
No.
Does it dehydrate people? And if I'm well hydrated, am I still losing just water weight?
Okay. So I've not heard of the infrared blankets, I have to say, but I have heard of an infrared sauna. It doesn't take fat off of you. In theory, I've heard different things about the sauna and everything from like hepatitis C. People have used it to detox. To be fair, I would have to do a little more research on it to be able to answer you intelligently with regard to its potential detoxing effects. But people, I have heard that certain individuals with hepatitis C have had good benefits from it. Because for the most part, though, when it comes to a sweat period, you're not detoxing the body. You can only detox the body through kidney and liver. Not through sweating. The purpose of sweating is to cool the body when it's overheated. So
I'm just overheating my body, and then I'm sweating as a result, and it's not benefiting me on a healthy level.
Well, you tell me. You go to the Do you have weight to lose?
No.
Okay.
No, I just kind of do it. Sometimes I've only done it a handful of times because I'm just on the fence about it, and I feel like the only information that I can read online is from the company itself, so just so biased.
Right. All right. Well, the thing is, you'll shed pounds, but they'll be water pounds. So here's what I would say. Have you seen any weight loss from the product? Like, not that, I got in it and I weighed 115, I got out and I weighed 112, you know, and then tomorrow, what were you? So
no, I haven't seen any weight loss as a result.
Yeah, no. You know, I would say, listen, if you had some sort of a disease or a condition, and it someone said to you, oh my God, you know, use the blanket and you had read a ton of research and your doctor gave you the thumbs up, yes, it won't hurt you, then by all means. But honestly, the best way to cleanse the body is always going to be the same. Stop putting poison in it and on it. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be number one. And that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, because we could literally sit here and I could, oh my God, the paint on the walls. Oh my God, I'm driving on the freeway with my window open. I'm going to get, you know, asthma or lung cancer. Oh, the microfibers in my carpet are toxic. Oh, you know,
right.
The plate, the pan my food was cooked on is Teflon. I'm dying. Oh, the, you know, plastic that the, you know, you can go nuts. But the point is, not to go nuts, it's to mitigate obvious toxins in your environment, you know? So it's like, all right, you know, you choose the thick-skinned veggies over the thin-skinned fruits and veggies, so you get less pesticide. You know, you go with natural beauty products and hygiene products as natural as you can, so the chemicals are mitigated. You know, it's like as clean as you can keep it. You know, I use coconut oil as a moisturizer on my body. It's cheap. And it's got nothing toxic in it. Whereas, like, you look at a bottle of expensive body lotion, and it's like, oh, you know, parabens and parfum and fragrance, which is all chemical. It's a bunch of really bad stuff. So, you know, I've had my green beauty expert, who greens my whole beauty regimen for work and all my hygiene products for me. And she's written in my book, Master Your Metabolism. And I also had a calorie counter, but she also gave like a list of green hygiene products in there. I don't, you know, you don't need to go spend a bunch of money on the book. You can take it out at the friggin' library, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I've also had Paige on the show. So, you know, you mitigate, you eat clean foods, you eat foods that support liver function and kidney function. You drink water to help support liver function and kidney function. And that ultimately, that's what detoxes the body. There's just no, you know, you're not paying for the blanket, then awesome. Is it hurting you? I mean, you know, drink water. As long as you're not like, I'm working out in the blanket, you know, then I'd be like, well,
I'm gonna quit running and just do the.
Yeah, that would be right. Exactly. You know, just remember that at the end of the day, this stuff is really straightforward, common sense. We don't need to reinvent the wheel here. Food quantity matters. Food quality matters. Moving the body matters. Those are the three things that matter. And this is what you should focus on, and a blanket, you know, whatever. I would rather you call me and ask me about, you know, turmeric and goji berries and, you know, maca powder than this blanket. You know, if you were getting into like, I want to get into, you know, adaptogenic herbs or whatever, like then we, you know, we could have a much more interesting conversation about what's going to support, you know, your immunity and your aging and this and that. But I promise you, it's not a blanket. I guarantee you. Yeah, it's not, that is not going to be a panacea for anything. And I think the bottom line is, have you noticed a difference?
Nope, just sweating. That's,
yeah.
That's about it.
Right, okay.
Can you hear the trolley in the background?
It makes me miss San Francisco.
If you don't mind.
No, please, go ahead.
When are you going to publish your Hot Mommy Healthy Baby book that you
know
mentioned
what?
A few months ago?
This is a good question, actually. We're so deep in this, man. This book is actually taking me some time because I have to write it, you know, with the doctor's supervision. And whenever I write a book that is, like with Master Your Metabolism, it's the only book that I actually had a co-writer because it required so much medical research. And I worked with Dr. Christine Darwin, who's an endocrinologist that actually is before I knew Dr. Van Hurley at UCLA. And so, like, with this book, there's you really got to get it as spot on. And so it's also, unfortunately, when I write a book, like, some people write a book about pregnancy fitness. Some people write a book about, like, you know, the health of your baby. Some people write a book about post-pregnancy. Like, this book is everything, unfortunately. So it's like, okay, what do you do pre-pregnancy if you want to prep your body for pregnancy? Oh, are you struggling with fertility? You know, let's talk about all the things you might be faced with and dealing with. Oh, you know, all right, these are the rules of thumb for fitness. These are the rules of thumb for food. These are the rules of thumb for lifestyle. So it breaks down for what's going to apply every trimester. Then it breaks down into trimesters, specifics that you need to know food-wise, fitness-wise, what's going on with your baby, what's going on in your body, recipes in a particular workout plan. So it's like, oh, here's a recipe for heartburn. You know, here are things for constipation. Sorry to throw that out there.
But
so it's kind of like, oh, my God, I don't know what we did. And then it's like, all right, you know, and then it's fourth trimester. And it's like just everything. It deals with the kind of psychology of going through the pregnancy and support and, you know, birthing plans. Because you really want to give women everything, like all the information without scaring them, but without judging them and giving them different paths. And I remember that with Phoenix, when Heidi was going into the delivery, she had watched all of this stuff on natural childbirth. And I was like, sweetie, and just the implication of that, it's like, this is natural. Right. And anything else that you do is not natural. And it was fascinating to watch her go through this whole thing. And she was like, I'm going to get through this naturally. And I knew it was never going to happen. She was, you know, she's 95 pounds, 5 feet tall. She's a tiny little human. And I knew it. I was like, there's no way she's going to be able to get this kid out of there. There's no way. And I kept trying to, you know, and all of the pressure and I was like, babe, you know, it's just modern medicine. Like so to make a very long story short, I've watched her and like a lot of my friends kind of go into it with all this pressure and, oh my God, the baby. And I was like, honey, other cultures use epidurals and the children are fine. My mother had an epidural and, you know, we can debate about all the things that are wrong with me, but none of them are from the epidural that my mother had while she was giving birth to me. You know, and I find it funny that, I know you didn't ask me this question and now I went into this long answer, but the reason it's taking me so long is because I want to address all this stuff. And I find it funny that, you know, no one would ever say to a woman, like, why don't you have natural wisdom tooth removal?
Yeah, you're right. There's
what are you talking about? Okay. Like, I just think
the judgment.
And it's like, if you can't do it. And like, she got to hour 13. They had to induce her. She was in tears. At hour 13, I was like, no, give her the epidural. At hour 28, she was still only dilated to a 4. And she was like, my mother had twins and didn't have a drop of medicine. And it was like, you know, what kind of woman am I? And like all this weird pressure. And at hour 28, she now had a fever. His heart rate was starting to become irregular. And I called the doctor at 3 a.m. and I was like, this is it. I'm in charge. Get over here with your knife and cut him out of there now. Now. And she's like, where is she dilated to? And I was like, get over here now. And she literally came over in the middle of the night and she was like, all right, for my last trick. And, you know, she got him out of there. But I just think, and to watch Heidi go through this weird, and I just was like, somebody's got to say to women, like, by all means, please have your plan, you know, and here are all the different plans, and here's everything you should know about them. But, like, if for some reason you can't breastfeed, because she couldn't do that either. She wasn't making enough milk. And, oh, my God, if I give him the bottle, he'll never go back on the nipple. You know, it was insane, the things that she went through. And she was not making enough milk. We had to do both.
Yeah.
And it was like, and the judgment that she put upon herself, the whole, so it's, anyway, it's complicated because we wanted to try to like tackle it from all angles of like giving women advice, but not like pressuring them or guilting them, but giving them the information and then giving them different options. And so hopefully we're thinking of next fall. And also wanting to,
are you pregnant?
That's a long time for now. I just found out.
You just found out? Oh, yeah, see, I was thinking of it.
I'm so mad that I'm telling Jillian Michaels before my sisters, but.
Oh my God, congratulations! Do you know how far you are? How far?
Well,
did you just find out?
I just found out on Monday, so I'm only 4 weeks and 5 days.
Oh my God, wow. Is it your first?
That's really, really early, so.
Is it
I'm
your
probably
first
jumping
one?
Again, but yes. And when you mentioned that book, I was like, this is perfect.
Oh.
But I'll still buy it anyway.
Oh, well. You know, and
you addressed post
Yeah, well, I am. That's so okay. We're calling it the, well, we're not calling it. I have
it's
heard
be
the
like
term.
A Bible.
The fourth trimester.
Apparently, you can use the book as a stepladder after you're
done. I'll find something for
it. Oh, man. I'm disappointed. It's not out right now. But you know what, honey? Here's what I would say right now. You know, there's a lot of fear mongering and there's a lot of judgment. Mm. And don't be afraid. And the problem is, like, you got to give people all the information. But honestly, when you look at, like, oh my God, listeria, right? It's like, don't eat raw cheese and don't eat deli meat and don't eat raw fish. And like, Heidi and I would be, we were in France. She was pregnant and she's watching pregnant women eat brie. And she's like, what am I not understanding here? Mm. Then we were in Japan and she was pregnant and she's sitting in a sushi bar with other Japanese women who were pregnant eating sushi. And she's like, again, what am I not understanding here?
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, err on the side of caution, but the cases of listeria are, like, extremely minimal. You know, and the same thing about, oh, my God, you know, don't overexert yourself, don't this, don't that. And the rules about pregnancy fitness are don't exert beyond where you were pre-pregnancy. But I can't even tell you the fear-mongering.
I'm not using that blanket by any means.
No. Oh, my God. No, you can't while you're pregnant.
I haven't been using that.
Yeah, no, that you actually can't do. You do not want to, you do not want the body in the first trimester to heat over 102 degrees specific. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
good to know.
Yeah, no saunas, no hot tubs. Your doctor will tell you all that.
I was wondering about a hot tub.
No. No, 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 no. No saunas, no hot tubs.
See,
no.
If I had your book.
I know, but that information is general, though. That information is more general information. You'll find that on every friggin' baby center, and all of that stuff is all out there. So, and the only other thing, did you get your prenatals?
I did, yes.
Okay, and are they organic?
Not that I'm aware of, but I have to look at the bottle. Closer.
Look at the bottle.
I mean, I'm sure it would.
Because okay.
I don't have it with me because I'm in Union Square.
Got it. Okay. Well, just the one thing, like, if I could tell you, just make sure, like, when the doctor gave Heidi prenatals, they gave her, and again, this was an hour OBGYN because she was inseminated. We were at a fertility clinic because that's just who does it. And I cannot tell you, by the way, the amount of drugs that they tried to push on her. And I was like, understand. I'm like, she's a homo. She's not infertile. Like, we don't need. Yeah. They were like, you need Clomid, HCG. And I was like, we don't need, she doesn't need these drugs, dude. She just needs you to shoot the stuff in there and knock her up because I'm not doing it at home. So, but it was fascinating. And then they gave her this vitamin and I read the ingredients and it had hydrogenated oil, propylene glycol, artificial color. And I was like, what are you doing? How are you giving this to her? And they're like, I go, what are you trying to accomplish? And they're like, well, folic acid. And I was like, great. Thank you. How much?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was before I had done my research, obviously. So just, you know, keep it clean, keep the diet clean, and just take the pressure off, kid. I don't know. You're going to find that, like, a lot of different ideas and opinions are going to come at you. Educate yourself on all of it and know that there's no wrong path. You know, people raise their kids differently and they turn out fine. People have different pregnancy choices and the kids turn out fine. So you do what's best for you.
Thank you, Jillian.
And congrats. We want to hear all about it. And if it's a girl, I think Jillian's a great name.
I think so. Oh, and I have to say one more thing. Your email to the wagon company was so funny. I had to play it for my husband.
Oh.
About the car. That was really well written and hysterical.
She's so proud of that. She's so proud of that note.
I wanted to send it so bad.
Awesome. I'm so glad you read it on your podcast.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. I wanted to like send it out to like BuzzFeed, but then when they when they replaced the car, then my only outlet was the podcast. So thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
It was great.
Should be an award. I should get an award for that.
We are going to keep in touch with you, Kirsten. We want to know.
Yeah, I want to hear all about it and tell your husband I said congrats.
I will. Thank you very much, both of you, for your time.
Congrats, honey. Have it. Just, dude, enjoy it as best as you can.
I will. Thank you.
So you have a great day.
You too.
like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.